July 7th, that's day after tomorrow, through the 14th. It's an annual occurrence, the Madison Early Music Festival. Each year it has a theme to it, and this year it is A Cabinet of Curiosities, Journey to Lubeck. And giving us some insights into what it's all about, my guests today, members of PFRO, two of them, Bob Wiemken and Joan Kimball. Welcome back to the Midday.
Thank you, Norm.
And
thank you.
Also here, putting in a repeat performance, is Paul Rose, one of the performers and one of the organizers of the Madison Early Music Festival. And welcome back, Paul.
Thanks, Norman. Good to be here.
So what does this mean, a cabinet of curiosities, as if early music isn't curious enough?
Well, it really came from a manuscript that we found that's in the library at UW, and it has this cabinet that's full of all kinds of interesting sort of scientific things and artistic things, and so that's why we had that idea. We had already been talking about doing a Northern Germany year, which we hadn't done in a while, and Lubeck was a good place to go, mostly because the composer Dietrich Buxtehude was centered there, and that's the composer that most people know about from Lubeck.
And most of them know about him via Bach.
Right. Yeah, because Bach visited in 1705
and stayed
longer than he was supposed to. Right? Broke the rules.
Yeah.
But he was also visited by Handel a couple of years before.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, a common phenomenon of these Baroque composers overstaying. I mean, speaking of Handel, of course, he did it in London by, 40 years or something.
That's
like
right,
that.
Yes.
Oops. But anyway, what sort of music should we expect in this week of July 7th through 14th then?
Well, this is sort of a transitional period, right, from the Renaissance into the Baroque. And so most of the music we're going to do is from sort of 1620 to 1705 or 10 in there. And so it's a very interesting time in music when there's Italian influences and French influences, and everybody is sort of working that out. And so that's what we're going to hear this week. We have Quicksilver, who's going to do a Cabinet of Wonder, they call this concert. So it's all kinds of music from this area, from this northern German area. And then PFRO, which we're going to hear more about, is doing a concert they call Back Before Bach. So that'll be on Sunday at 7:30. One of the crucial concerts, I think, for this week to know about Buxtehude's life and the life of Lubeck is on Tuesday night. We're recreating what they called the Abendmusiken concerts. So it was a kind of a break with tradition. It's different than what Bach was doing in Leipzig a little bit later. They would have these concerts that were in the church, but they weren't part of a church service. And they were usually during Lent, and they sort of developed into a big concert event for Lubeck. And they were famous. They were, it's kind of odd that they weren't really imitated around Europe. So Tuesday night, we're going to be doing music that would have been performed there, some by Buxtehude, some by his predecessor, Tunder. So there's some unfamiliar names and some familiar names.
And a lot of that early music actually sounds strangely contemporary.
Yes.
The rhythms and the combinations of instruments.
And familiar tunes. A lot of the tunes that we know, Lutheran chorale tunes, because this is, of course, after the Reformation. And this is part of their language was to use these tunes in all kinds of interesting ways.
Well, Bob and Joan, you have, I don't know how many CDs to your credit as PFRO.
Well, I think this is the 20th.
Wow. All right. This is a fairly recent one here, the Back Before Bach Musical Journeys CD.
That's right. It was released last summer, actually. And we've been touring with this program for the past year. Actually, a program that we conceived back in 2008 at the Bach Festival in Philadelphia. And what does a Renaissance band do performing at a Bach festival?
And, you're a little bit out of your time.
Well, that's right, except for the fact that Bach's father was a Stadtpfeifer, a city piper. His uncle was a Stadtpfeifer. His wife's father was a trumpeter. And he grew up around the wind instruments and wind playing, which PFRO plays. And consequently, we thought, yeah, let's just follow some traditions, some journeys, musical journeys of popular tunes carried from their origins, one all the way back to the 4th century AD,
wow,
up to Bach himself. And that's sort of underlays this program and this CD.
So what are these first two?
The first tune is one that will be somewhat familiar, I think, to people. Christ ist erstanden, an Easter sequence hymn that goes back to the 11th century. These that you will hear are from the late 15th, early 16th century on shawms and sackbuts.
Lovely stuff there. Those were sackbuts and shawms.
Those were sackbuts and shawms. That's correct.
Yeah. And if you'd like to know what they look like, you can come hear the Pifero concert on Sunday night.
Well, that would be one way to see them in action. Yeah,
that's right.
And another thing about an early music concert that's rather contemporary in some ways is this kind of interchangeability of instruments. Very common to see a performer put down in the middle of a piece, put down one instrument, pick up another one.
Everybody was talking about how many instruments you brought with you from Philadelphia.
Yeah,
what did you say? Seven cases?
Quite a few, actually. And of course, it was a part of the virtuosity of an early wind player to be able to play different instruments for different occasions. And so, yes, we traveled with quite a few cases of instruments.
And what's this here? Then we're going. This is from that same CD, Back Before Bach.
This next tune dates all the way back to the 4th century, and Sedulius wrote this hymn, A Solis Ortus Cardine, from the rising of the sun, from the point of the rising of the sun. And it was an abecedarius. It was every verse started with the next letter of the alphabet. And so there were 24 verses to
easy to remember that way, I guess.
That's correct. And it became very popular, especially the early section about the Christmas story, and was extracted and then became a hymn that many composers set throughout the 16th century. And Luther himself used it and changed the words to Christum vir solum lobenschon. And that then is what Bach sets himself in several cantatas. So this carries all the way from the 4th century up to Bach, although we'll hear the very first chant and then two settings, by one by Mr. Anonymous and the other by Johann Walter, who was Luther's right-hand man, composer.
And then we have a couple more short pieces after that, or that we're going to segue to? Is that the plan
here? Or are we just going to break and do another something in between?
Okay, here we go. Soulful stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of a
consort of recorders.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's kind of a, well, it just gives you some kind of an idea of the contrast that you can get with this early music of someone who's very lively, very secular.
That's correct.
Yeah. Very streetwise, you might say. And then, of course, very spiritual, too. And
lots of dancing, drinking, and then praying after.
Yeah, that's right. Not sure what the sequence is, yeah. But yes, that's right. Well put, Paul. Joan Kimball, one of the two members of PIFRO, the early music ensemble that released that as their, roughly speaking, 20th CD, is here with one of her instruments. And what is it, Joan?
Okay, here is a bagpipe, and this is a little bit more representative of the variety that we have. We, from the recorders that we just heard to the previous one with the shams and the sackbut, now we're descending a little bit, I suppose, into the streets and into the countryside with a bagpipe. This particular one that I'm playing is a small one called a hummelchen, which roughly translates into a little bumblebee, and it's sweet. So when I play it in the studio here, it's not going to blow you away, and the tune may sound familiar. It's one that was written by the composer Heinrich Isaac in the early part of this, very early part of the 16th century, a tune that was carried forward, became a hymn in the early part of the Reformation, and a very familiar hymn and tune in Bach's time, for Bach as well. He said this numerably, O Welt, ich muss dich lassen, is the what it ends up being. First it's called Innsbruck, Ich muss dich lassen, and I'll play a little of the tune.
Innsbruck, I must leave you.
Yes.
Right.
In the concert, you will hear that tune and then a little bit of sort of a fantasy that was arranged on that for bagpipe and recorder.
Well, interesting what you say about, the Reformation and Martin Luther and this music and how the church early on used this vernacular music, popular music, to reach out to people who would hopefully join the church. And Luther, of course, did the same thing with language and using street language for his translation of the Bible.
That's right. I mean, one of his main purposes of utilizing music to reach the parishioners and to have them actually singing rather than just listening to, and therefore all of these wonderful hymn tunes that we know and will hear this week as we're preparing not only PIFRO's program, but the All Festival concert on Saturday night.
And the concert on Friday will feature a lot of vocal music. That Scuola Antiqua will be in Mills Hall at 7:30. And all of these concerts are going to be preceded by a pre-concert lecture starting at 6:30. And all the concerts are in Mills Music Hall, except for Tuesday nights, which is at Luther Memorial Church across the street.
Appropriate. And how can people find out about this, Paul?
The way to find out more information about both the concert series, the lectures, and the workshop, we have classes all week starting on Saturday, is to go to MadisonEarlyMusic.org.
There you go.
That's Madison, our website.
MadisonEarlyMusic.org. Well, we have time before the quiz question for a couple more from this CD, Back Before Bach, featuring Piffero. And what is this?
This next piece is a polychoral piece by a German composer, Melchior Franck, from the early 17th century. And he takes a popular chant tune, Da Pacem Domine, and sets it for two choirs of instruments. Within the concert that Piffero will be presenting on Sunday night, those who come will get to hear a couple of one-of-a-kind instruments, reproductions of originals, one a contrabass sackbut, which is distressingly long and wonderfully low in sound, as well as an octave-bass dulcian, stands about 6'3". And we'll hear that those playing a kind of 16-foot, doubling the bass line at the octave.
Maybe worth explaining that a sackbut is the ancestor of the trombone.
That's worth
quite
explaining.
Similar to the mod. Did not change a whole lot. And the dulcian is the great granddaddy of the bassoon.
Ah, okay. Thank you for that enlightenment, Joan. And so now this piece for choirs, did you say, Bob?
Two choirs of voices and or instruments. In this case, we're playing it instrumentally, although it is texted.
Choral stuff, whether instrumental or vocal, I'm sure. And we have time for one more, Bob. And Joan, what will it be?
Well, I think this one will encapsulate another whole tradition of Bach influence, and that is, of course, dance. And this is a Volta written by Michael Praetorius, published in his big collection of Terpsichore.
Sort of a jumping dance?
It's a leaping dance, very energetic, very fun.
Why don't we dance those anymore?
Well, I'm not really sure.
Sounds like fun. Yeah, a little bit like Morris dancing, maybe. All right, here we go. A volta. See if people use that sort of thing for their exercise music, we'd all be the better for it, you know. A volta played by Pifero on, is this your most recent CD, Back Before Bach?
That's correct.
It came out last year, number 20, give or take a disc, a very active and peripatetic ensemble, Pifero, and happy to have them again this year as part of the Madison Early Music Festival. Their founding members and my guests today, Bob Wiemken and Joan Kimball, and with them also one of the mainstays of the Madison Early Music Festival, a week-long event, Paul Rowe. Good to see you again, Paul.
Thanks, Norman. And thank you for your support of the Early Music Festival and WPR, too. It's been a partnership that's been going on for a long time now, and we're celebrating our 19th season this year. All centered around the UW campus, the Humanities Building, and this year including Luther Memorial. If you'd like more information about any of these activities, there are classes and lectures and concerts that happen all week starting on the 7th, go to madisonearlymusic.org.
Got great T-shirts, too.
Oh, yeah. Good ones this year.